Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this fourth Sunday of Advent comes from the Old Testament reading in Micah chapter 5, again verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. This is God's word. Our nation is filled with little towns that are famous. Places like Plymouth, Valley Forge, Gettysburg, they're tiny in comparison to our biggest cities. Yet they're quite well known because of what happened in those locations. Today we hear of another little town which has become even more well known. Today the prophet Micah speaks of a little town in which God's own son will be born, and you just heard it. Micah 5, verse 2. From you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Historians tell us that Bethlehem's population was probably only in the hundreds at the beginning of the New Testament. And so the question arises, why didn't God choose Jerusalem? Nation's capital, largest city, central of commercial and political power, where people of royalty and wealth and influence lived. Maybe it was to show that God was not sending a commercial Messiah or a political Messiah. The glory of God's Messiah would be his humility. The calling card of his Messiah would be the rejection of worldly power. He would build his kingdom in a different way, starting with his unassuming birth. A quick look at Holy Scripture reveals that God routinely uses people from the margins to accomplish what he wants to have happen. Think of Moses wondering, why would God pick someone like me to lead his people? Fast forward to the New Testament. Who did Jesus choose to lay the foundation for his church? Fishermen, a tax collector, a few religious zealots thrown in. And in today's gospel, Mary is amazed by this reaction of Elizabeth when she's told in Luke chapter 1 she will be the one to bear the very Son of God. She is amazed that God would even want to bother with her, much less bless her in this most peculiar way. God's choice of this little town called Bethlehem is part of a bigger pattern, a pattern that continues right through the New Testament era, right down to the present day. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul wrote, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, so that no one can boast before him." So first, God's choice of the little town of Bethlehem is a sign that you cannot be too little or too insignificant for God to bless you. Bethlehem is a reminder that when you feel belittled by others, when you feel loaded with guilt, when you struggle with the consequences of bad decisions, it's a reminder God has chosen you and me. And we don't deserve it. But that's the point. Your place in God's kingdom, your place in His family is a result of His greatness. It's not mine. That's good news. That's great news. But this is also a warning to those who may be caught up in human greatness. We tend to apply the motto, bigger is better, to just about everything in life. You name it, business organizations, military power, even churches. We may come to trust in our accomplishments so much that we stop delighting in God's activity in our lives. We may even stop looking for God's activity in our lives. But standing at the threshold of another Christmas, we have yet another chance to stop, to change direction, to repent, and receive the forgiveness of sins and a new outlook on life that comes from this Christ. An outlook that seeks to praise the Lord in what we say and do. An outlook that trusts in His upside-down kingdom, His backwards way of doing things, His routine choice of the little and the small and the powerless to fill with His power. It's interesting to note that God's choice of the little town of Bethlehem also has something to say about life in the real world. And here's what I mean. In today's gospel lesson, we see Elizabeth rejoicing over Mary and what's happening to her. But all too soon, Mary will have to flee with Joseph as King Herod slaughters the innocent boys of Bethlehem in a crazed attempt to eliminate Jesus. And later, the mother of our Lord will weep at the foot of her own son's cross. So God's choice of Bethlehem can also say this to you and to me, right in the middle of human cruelty, right in the middle of haunting grief, right in the middle of bitter disappointment and a world gone mad, Jesus comes. Jesus comes to you, the living good news of God Himself. The prophet Micah admits Israel may appear to be abandoned, but there's no defeat where God has made a choice. When the ruler comes, the scattered people of God will be reunited, will have security, will live in peace. There are real problems around us. There is real pain inside. And still, Jesus comes to set things right. He comes to console you with His unstoppable love. He comes to make you a bold believer by the power of His resurrection, His mastery over death and the grave. And last but not least, God's choice of the little town of Bethlehem was an intentional signal. It sent a clear message to those paying attention about the identity of this child who was born in Bethlehem. It's the place, after all, where the shepherd boy David was born, where he was living when he was chosen to become the greatest king Israel ever had. It's under David that Israel conquered all its enemies, extended its borders, established peace, and brought about a time of spiritual renewal. Much later, a Roman census would bring Mary and Joseph to the town of David, where the King of all kings would be born. So God's choice of Bethlehem can remind you and me that God is in control. All rulers, all powers will one day bow before Him. Jesus is currently directing all things for good. One of the oldest Christian churches in the world, the Church of the Nativity, is said to cover the site that made little Bethlehem the greatest location in Judah and known worldwide. What's unusual about the church is that once you enter into the normal entrance, then you get to this cave area that's now so small that only one person can enter it at a time, and you have to stoop down in order to get in. Why is it that way? Well, reportedly, invading horsemen rode into the church long ago and trampled the temple or the cave areas there. And so, to prevent future desecration of this beautiful area, the doorway was made much smaller, to the point that now you have to crouch to get in there. As you and I go to Bethlehem in spirit this Christmas, this is what we need to do. Stoop down. Humble yourself. Block everything else out and kneel at the manger of Jesus. Bow beside the bed of God in the flesh. See the baby whose goodness fills your emptiness, whose love consoles you in your sorrow, whose power will steady you in all of life's changes. Where meek souls will receive Him, still the dear Christ enters in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Your infinite wisdom, You chose a tiny town, and You chose an unmarried virgin mother. All of these unlikely things together to be the place where Your Son would break into this world to do His work of saving. Help us in these very busy days to learn once again how Your power is made known in the world through some of the most unlikely ways. And yet, You do the most powerful things. You have saved us. You have redeemed us from sin, death, and hell itself, and have brought us into Your kingdom by Your gracious choice. As we receive Your gifts today, Lord, we praise You and ask that You accompany us on this journey to Bethlehem once more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.